Calling to order the August EDA meeting. It is Monday, August 3rd. Time is 6:33. Start with a roll call. Matt Dingy is here from the EDA.
Tommy Boston, EDA.
Jennifer Dieterick, EDA.
We also have Neil Page from town staff. Let's begin with public comment. Do you have any comments you'd like to make?
No, I'm observing.
Oh, just observing. Great. Well, thanks for coming. Appreciate it. All right, so just jumping right into discussion items, the strategic plan. I imagine we don't have any updates there unless you have any comments, Tom.
No updates. It's going to be a part of it, the doing business in Canton, kind of the one pager, just a refresh. I'll circulate a digital copy. My printer was only able to get one out at home, but just a part of the strategic plan and just another piece that we can kind of start working on and working towards while the survey's out.
Great. Yeah. Sounds good. Yeah, if you circulate that, I will have added to the meeting packet.
Perfect.
Facade improvement program. No updates there. Still working with the town to get a date to present. Hopefully in the next month or two, more on that to come. Neil, anything on the Axe Factory?
Let's see. I know we're Our DECD Brownfields grant is getting towards the end. We did get our contract modified where we were able to process a change order that increased the scope of work, which also helped include, and I'm going to say it wrong, part of the scope included a fiscal impact analysis, which is one of the necessary components for the TIF, tax increment financing plan, and then another study, similar type of study you can do is an economic impact analysis. Right? So the fiscal impact analysis demonstrates how much this affects the town as far as cash flow. Does it, how much in costs does it incur versus how much in revenue does it bring into the municipality? Where the economic impact analysis is more about the, you know, greater economic implications to the community, like how much additional disposable income does it bring in, how much additional spending in the community, jobs, etc. So that has been added in. With our change order, we got the okay from the state on that. And then that also gave us some funds to reallocate some different sampling locations that we needed to target based on earlier field observations. So anyway, long story short, that is done and it's starting to wrap up. I've been reviewing the draft fiscal impact analysis, and I think that's getting very close to being able to publish that. And I think on that one point, I do just want to mention that we haven't talked about the tax increment financing plan in a while. And Matt had asked me to kind of put a refresher in the meeting packet. So I put in the original town meeting presentation that we used when the legislation just came out to kind of explain to the community what it is. Because the first reaction is, whoa, why should our tax dollars go to support a private sector development? But it's not that. And if you look at the presentation, it's all about the increased assessed value that can come from a big project like this Axe Factory, and then taking a portion of that revenue that comes from the increased assessed value and investing it back into the project early on. And then that, it's that but for money, the money you would not have gotten if you hadn't done the tax incentive that you then inject in. And the presentation hopefully makes sense if you take a look at the slides, but that's the main gist. And so we're at the point where we should probably have that. The factory representatives are going to meet with the CAO and start trying to work out a TIF agreement, which then will have to become a public discussion. It'll have to go to the Planning and Zoning Commission and require town meeting approval. But that's why I put the tax increment financing original slideshow in there.
Okay.
Just to kind of, as a 101 refresher on that legislation and what you can do with it and how it works.
So that would ultimately become a town vote?
But my understanding by the legislation becomes a town meeting vote.
So okay, so not necessarily a polling station vote, but at the meeting, it's a
right.
Yay or nay kind of a
yep.
deal.
20 okay. people, 200 people, whoever shows up, the majority.
I bet there'll be a big turnout for that.
Oh yeah, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
That's a big one.
So they have to first put together their whole business plan and show it to the CEO, and the CEO has to go through it, and then we have to look at, based on the total amount of investment and the anticipated increase in assessed value, does it make sense for a TIF agreement to be formed? And then if it does make sense, then those parties will pursue a TIF agreement at that higher level. EDA might be you know, something might be referred to EDA or something at that time. I have another document that actually outlines the process that I can put into the next meeting packet, and we can maybe put on the agenda and do another refresher on that.
Yeah.
Instead of me just battling through the steps and making a mistake, I'll actually put the actual process in the next meeting packet.
That'd be good. Maybe we could have a better discussion when there's a better turnout, too.
Yeah.
Should the EDA take a position on that if it comes to vote, or is that?
I do think the EDA should be actively involved. I think first you should see what gets proposed, and then you should analyze it. And, you know, if you determine it makes financial sense for the town and community economically, then the EDA may want to, you know, take a position on it in favor of it, right? If you look at it and say, well, this doesn't make financial sense or is not economically good for the community, then maybe you take an opposite position. I think any of the above, including do nothing, is all within your means. But I think we wait and see what gets proposed, but let's refresh ourselves between now and then. It does take a while to go through the actual.
Yeah.
The legislative process, the process dictated by legislation, is long, and I think maybe that's done intentionally to make sure nobody can do this too quickly.
Okay.
Right, and that, you know, allows for a lot of discovery and public, you know, discussions and things and opinion formation.
Do you get a sense that without the TIF, this project is DOA?
Well, that's the sense we got that caused us to go into a TIF. We really got the sense many years ago that this is not going to go forward without some form of additional assistance. And we were in a lot of the meetings we had, and Gary Roman, who was the president of Council of Saving Society, was the chair of our TIF committee when we actually, drafted our TIF plan and decided we were going to do this. And he always talked about there was a gap, you know, that was keeping the project from happening, and how do we fill this gap? And that, you know, one of the ways you can do it is by inserting revenue from a TIF agreement. So I do think it's probably necessary. I mean, it's possible something might come out in the private sector that somehow can incur all the costs of that, you know, redevelopment of that site and make it work with the private sector. But I also feel like that probably would have happened before. We've gone through some really great economies in the life cycle of that project, and it hasn't happened yet. Yeah. So.
Okay. All right, now good stuff. The rail trail extension.
Okay, so the last meeting, I believe, I reported that I got the okay from the shop's ownership to go forward, because we finally got all the sign-offs from all the different interest parties that have an interest. So then last week, I was able to have a meeting with our design consultant, who hasn't worked on this project for almost 2 years, because it's on a hiatus for that long. And so I just had to have the initial, okay, you know, is there still enough money in the budget? You know, have you increased your rates in the last 2 years? You know, has the cost of whatever gone up? And he thinks we have enough money in the budget. We do have, during the easement process, it was determined that most of the people that had a right in it did not want the trail to be over the Dick's/Barnes & Noble parking lot, which had originally been the idea to, come down in the grassy field and then come up where that little behind the barn onto the parking lot that's over by Dick's, and then be across the Dick's parking lot to a kiosk that would be in that wide center landscape median. We were told no, they don't want to have it crossing with that traffic in that area, even though it's very underutilized. And so the challenge I gave the design consultant was, okay, we have to get something constructed soon, so maybe we try to do a temporary kiosk right before the trail comes up off out of the grass, right? So then the trail temporarily ends there. We know we have our route that works for that's the west side of the property, you know, basically from Lovely Street to the barn. So maybe we just kind of work there. We make a makeshift trailhead and a makeshift kiosk temporarily, and we get that segment constructed while we figure out, and we do the final design for that, send it out to bid and do that while we figure out the design for the rest of it. But the rest of it is kind of complicated, because it either means we have to put the trail at the bottom of the retaining wall that's pretty far down, which is kind of a security concern. There's lots of segments of the trail where you're not, you know, in public view, but there's something odd in a major complex like this being low out of view.
Yeah. It's not in their best interest either, because then the bicyclists and the walkers don't have easy access to the
shops. You don't have that relationship visually with the property you're inviting people into, right? So then it's either you cantilever something out, or you drop a new retaining wall and build up, or this is what we're currently exploring. The designer is working on a sketch that I'm going to take to the management about their drive aisle. Like, if you look at the parking spots that go perfectly up against the that embankment that face out in the field, they're 18 feet wide, and then you have something like 42 feet to the next curb, which is really, well, it might be 36 to 42, but it's much, much wider than it needs to be. It really only needs to be like 24. And could we possibly take that existing paved area and narrow it and then drop like a barrier and then have the trail up on grade and maybe just redo the existing asphalt area, maybe, you know, put a landscape buffer in the trail or something. But we're working on a cross section of that that we could then take to the owner and say, would you think we could make this work? And I'm worried they'll just, they're all there, everybody says, oh, no, no, we can't possibly have a change like that for a while, I don't know.
Right.
But we're going to try, because that makes the most sense to keep things moving at this point. And then, like I said, in the meantime, I'm hoping to have him initiate phase one in the full design with the specifications where we go to bid. And then we'll just continue that planning till we have that figured out on this on phase two.
So it sounds like we have enough design money. Do we have construction money as well?
We have construction money based on, I don't know if this is the right year, but it was like 2019 maybe,
all right,
dollars so. when Eleni got us the grant from the state.
Yeah.
That was just under $600,000, and that was supposed to construct from Lovely Street to that kiosk in that Center Island median. And I don't know if that's going to be enough in today's dollars or not,
right.
But we have to get the design done, and then we'd have to go out to bid and find out.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. No.
Well, we got to get all the permitting done too.
Sounds like we just need to get over that the easement hurdle, and now it sounds like things might pick up some pace.
Things are moving. So I have an appointment with the consultant. I'm out for the next 2 weeks, but I have an appointment with him like the day I get back to take a look at his sketch and then see if I can send it over to the shops.
Yeah. Okay.
Maybe a stupid quick question. How does it get from the grade up at Lovely Street down into the shops? Is it just the sidewalk?
No. So the sidewalk from Lovely Street to the...
behind the funeral home.
Yep. That, I believe the intent is to widen that.
Okay.
And then have a path that comes down through the fire entrance, the emergency entrance, on the west side of Coles, and that will come down off on the side and then ring around that great parking lot back there.
Oh, wow.
It'll ring on the outside and hopefully maintain grade, and then when it gets to the backside, then it starts to go down grade and cuts across the flat area that's down low that runs along the brook.
Oh, okay. So it goes down there, it doesn't go down that ramp that's heading towards like your
right, where
facing
the cars.
Nope. Down by Cole?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope. But you're in the wide open field out there.
I like that. That's it's more of a natural setting, right?
They've previously come to Wetlands, the shops, about trying to activate that big field. And remember, that used to be a fairway.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And one of the things, they had stopped maintaining it like a fairway, and it was starting to get overgrown, starting to look more natural. It was like, they came to Wetlands, and Wetlands was like, no, you better keep maintaining that if you want to use it. And so they've been mowing it more frequently since then. But anyway, that they hope to activate, where you could possibly see a vision of a recreational path coming on the side of that, and tents or food trucks or markets, maybe an outdoor movie or something or exercise stuff. Like, the shops are very interested in doing that because I think they recognize that, especially in this modern retail economy we're in, you know, making yourself a destination and for active, activities and things like that. Active recreation is a draw.
That's awesome. That would be
great.
Yeah.
So that was kind of the larger vision that came out that when we started planning this with them. That
maybe this will be a catalyst for them to start seeking that idea.
Yeah.
More.
I think
more
if the trail goes in, I think it absolutely would be. That's why it's like, okay, enough is enough. Let's stop. Let's get the part constructed. We can get constructed, and then we'll figure out the problems with the other.
Yeah.
The other problem is, how do you get around the Secret Lake Road? We have the trail to come up on the west side of Secret Lake Road on the shop side, and then we have the crosswalk that goes over Secret Lake to the Midas, and then it's as narrow as it could possibly be there, and that's a design challenge. But we have to get to Old Albany Turnpike, because our right-of-way of Old Albany Turnpike still exists, that comes from Old Albany Turnpike onto Albany Turnpike. But there's like the frontage of the Midas is so narrow, you don't have a lot of depth there to work with.
Could it go behind it and where the par three used to be? Is that shop
zone?
If somehow we could do that and they bought a house and gave us the rights across the house, you know. It doesn't seem like it's going to work. And the Midas people weren't happy about us trying to ring around the backside of their property. They weren't going to give us like an easement on their outer edge. No. So we might have to drop like a barricade and actually have like a short two-way cycle track in front of their property as a, you know, thing. And that would have an impact on their property. But I think, you know, if it's all in the state right of way, we'd have to work with the state of Connecticut to make it work. But that is the hardest part. Out of all of this, how do you get around the Midas? You know, and if you go south on Secret Lake to, like, I think it's Forest Lane or something, it is so far out of the way that it's kind of counterintuitive when we only really need to make it like 100, 200 feet.
Something wonderful will happen. You wait and see.
We're trying.
It will. It will, because by getting the first part done, people will be like, oh, this is so cool.
Yeah,
you know, and then they'll want to jump.
And do you
want to
be known as being the bottleneck for...
Yeah, something that's so
That's a great point.
But I don't know if it's my, it sounds great to me, but I don't own it. It's not my life investment or, you know, whatever. And if it was mine, I would probably be a little bit, wait a minute, you want to do what, you know? And
to me, it'd be like, hold me harmless and go for it. I mean, what's the,
an ideal
what's
world
the downside
or,
to it?
Well, we don't know how, what the design looks like. And then we got to get to the point where we have a sketch and then meet with them and then see what the physical impacts are. I mean, if it removes two parking spots or three that they enjoy now, you know, that could be a big deal.
And what about crossing Lovely Street? What's the idea? What's the plan or the design?
Well, Lovely Street, when we when the CVS went in, we had upgraded the whole signal there. So now there's a full exclusive pedestrian phase. So when you hit the button, all traffic stops. And we also realigned... Well, not all traffic. There's a free-flowing right turn for eastbound traffic on Roof Reefer, but we realigned that crossing where we used to cross. So you would be walking east on Roof 44, and then that free-flowing traffic's going by you, and you'd be facing the wrong way.
Right.
So we put the sidewalk all the way down, so now you come down to a 90-degree turn, so that when you were going to cross that free-flowing traffic, you're 90 degrees to the road, and it's a much safer crossing there. But that's the only problematic portion. From there on, it's all... there's a signal that stops all the vehicle traffic and you cross. And that was put in specifically to get people across either way of the four-way intersection without being in conflict.
Okay.
But we're not going to be able to make it any, you know, wider than it is there.
Okay. No, that's exciting stuff. I'm glad to see
finally
this is starting to move.
Thank goodness.
Let's see. Community outreach. So I went over the survey, the community survey, so 5A, at the POCD meeting, and I probably should have just attached it into the Dropbox so folks can kind of see what the survey results were all about. So I will do that. I will send it out to everybody after the meeting. Tommy, the business survey, did that went out?
The emails on the list that was on the spreadsheet that went out.
Thank you so much.
Have you seen any?
That's actually, I was going to check to see if it had gone out first, but I can check right now.
Yeah, I was kind of curious.
Do you use Google,
we
Docs
can look
for that?
Is
that
what, two seconds.
Google Docs?
Google
Docs. Forms, that's the one.
Let's see. Wow. 25 responses
Get
so
out
far.
Of here.
Yeah.
Whoa.
That's
all
great.
Right.
Well, that's awesome.
That's very cool.
Do you know when it went out?
It went out the day I was emailing you about it was like a Thursday or Wednesday, and then it didn't go out to the following Monday.
Okay.
So
so you may want to think about, you know, a couple of remote. When do you want to close at the end of the month?
I think
like
now it's kind of after Labor Day, just to kind of capture that through the holiday. Neil, I think the easiest way is for me to just kind of email you the reminder text when it's time. Does that work?
That's fine. Tuesday the 28th that went out.
Tuesday the 28th. Okay.
So you've got
perfect.
25
so.
Responses in 4 or 5 days.
That's not a bad pace.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's funny, what you'll see is, at least with the community survey, I tracked responses, like a timeline.
Oh, okay.
And whenever a reminder went out, you got an immediate bump, and then it kind of leveled out, and then the reminder, another bump.
Awesome.
So the reminders are very important.
Oh, this is really cool. There's a lot of a diverse response so far. Very cool.
Very exciting.
Thing to check for.
It was, when I did the community survey, it was so much fun just to watch it come in and kind of seeing where the results were.
Now I'm going to be checking it all the time.
No, that's great. I'm excited to see results that we get from that.
Yeah.
5C developers, no updates. Bob's not here. The economic backdrop, I honestly haven't done much with it month over month. Again, this is the project to get a snapshot of the Canton economics and demographics to do the annual with the Board of Selectmen. My focus month over month between meetings was getting ready for the POCD meeting, so that went to the back burner. But I hope to have something to share for next meeting on that.
And if you want to tag team this or want, you know, help split it or anything like that, I'm happy to. Now that the survey's out and it's kind of doing its thing.
Okay.
Yeah,
I might take you up on that.
Yeah.
Okay. Jen, anything on
Streetscape?
Yeah.
No, Tommy and I were going to work on this together, and I confess that I've been there's been a family illness, so I'm
sorry to hear
that. No, it's all right. It's actually old age, so but things happen. But anyway, I'm going to be gone over Labor Day, but now that your survey is out,
you have capacity.
You have capacity now. So if we can just come up with a date to get together,
okay,
that would be good. And I have my book right here, and if we can do it right now, then I would be really happy to do that.
I am gone
from the 2nd to the 8th of September.
Okay.
But I do have, between now and then, or after that, we could do something.
Yeah, no, we could do it. I could do it as early as next, let's do it, I guess, the week of the 24th of August. Does that work?
Yeah. All right. So
is this for exploring grants, grant opportunities?
Yeah,
I think one in particular, right?
Yeah. One or two in particular. Uh-huh.
I could do during the day.
I can do Wednesday the 19th or Friday the 21st during the day.
During the day. How about the week of the 24th? Sorry,
excuse me. Next week.
Yeah.
Still same thing, Wednesday, Friday?
Wednesday, Friday, yeah. How about Friday, the 28th?
Time?
Let's do 10 a.m. I can come to you.
Okay.
In Collinsville. That's perfect.
Okay.
And if you have the application or anything like that, I can do some research beforehand.
Yeah. Okay.
And we'll go from there.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Okay.
Item 8. Marketing. Dave's not here, but the next step in the process in terms of working with the superintendent's office in terms of potential partnership with students and doing social media work was to come up with a program design program summary or outline. Which Dave put together. So if anyone, I think Bob gave him some feedback. If anyone else has any feedback on that, send it to Dave. He's on vacation right now. So when he gets back, we're going to ship it off to John Bishop, the assistant superintendent, and then see where it goes from there.
Awesome.
Canton Village, anything since last meeting?
Yes, today we received a wetlands application from the developer / owner, which I believe is going to precede the planning and zoning application that I expect to come in soon as well. So the wetlands application is really just about, again, there's old, you know, mapped wetland boundaries anything within 100 feet requires a wetlands permit. So what they've done is they've taken that large concept plan that we looked at. They took the front three buildings that front Route 44 and some associated parking and driveway areas, and they kind of carved that out and made that their initial phase one. And they submitted whatever construction activities that are within 100 feet of a wetlands in that first phase, they submitted a wetlands permit for that. And I only got to take a really short, you know, glance at it just to kind of understand what it was. And I don't have it more than what I just told you, but that probably, because of the timing of the submission, won't be evaluated by wetlands until their September meeting. They meet the second Thursday of the month. But that is, you know, a strong commitment to do the engineering design and everything necessary to file for a wetlands permit. It's not, you know, simple stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a big financial commitment. So, you know, EDA should be following that. And then I will let you know if we have the planning and zoning counterpart. I'm a little bit curious. I thought that, you know, the planning and zoning aspect is really complicated because we have to do kind of what we call a design district, where we're getting a master plan that doesn't match our regulations, and they have to craft changes to the regulations. And I was expecting to get like early copies of that with, you know, asking for feedback and stuff, and maybe that's coming, maybe it's not. But they also came, you know, here into planning zoning like three times, which was, they got a lot of feedback on that. So maybe they have enough that they don't need to do that. But I'm waiting to see if they do that with me, or if they are going to feel confident to just submit. And then from there, I'll have to, you know, see what happens with what we get and start going through the review process. But it looks like they're definitely going to just start with a initial phase that's, again, three buildings straight up against Route 44 that kind of matches the visual imagery they showed us here.
Mm-hmm. Bows to the monument sign?
Yep.
Basically? Okay.
Yep.
Great.
And then, cool. You know, I have to take a closer look at it. You know, it's such a complicated site to begin with.
Yeah.
And then when you propose changing a part of it for a larger plan, but you're not proposing the rest of the plan, you also have to make sure not only what you're reviewing makes sense, but what you're reviewing in context with the existing conditions makes sense. And I don't know. Jeez. I took a glance. I was like, oh boy, you know, that's a lot of work and a lot of time. And I put it away because I was moving offices today. That is exciting that it actually came in. They paid the application fee, and it's officially submitted for a wetlands aspect.
That's going to be huge for the experience along 44 and just to make that area feel.
For sure.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
And do you know, did they settle on a schematic for where the envisioned that coffee shop going?
Yeah, they did actually. What they did in this, after they left here, they went to planning and zoning one more time, which wasn't planned, but they decided to do it last minute, and they ended up taking the feedback. It was kind of a mixed discussion. It was a very interesting discussion if you want to watch it, but they ended up rotating the building 90 degrees, and so the broadest side is fronting Route 44, but that's also the side with the drive-through, which isn't my favorite orientation, but you know, we looked at it so many different ways to try to figure out how to not have the drive-through on the outside. And one of the, you know, problems is the driver's side window just doesn't work on the inside of the site in any scenario, and it's very frustrating. But I'm just trying to.
It's too bad they wouldn't be willing to put that coffee shop on the right hand side.
It's the other side of the driveway.
They probably want it because their people are used to Applegate drive-through or McDonald's. I don't know what the reasoning behind
it
is.
They can learn to do something different quick enough.
Yeah.
They could. Because then it would be more like, what was the Farmington Bank, now M&T in Unionville, where the bank fronts the two roads, and you drive into the parking lot and you do the drive-through behind it. You don't see it from the road.
Yeah, I got to tell you, my personal preference, I'm not a fan of having the drive-through being facing 44. I think it changes the whole aesthetic of
the headlights and the line of cars.
The building facade that's in that digital rendering they gave us was beautiful. I don't know if you guys want to just take a quick look at that. It's hard with the privacy screen.
What is that, a privacy screen?
Well, so you can't see it at an angle
really
well. I don't know if it's intended to be a privacy screen, but it's
yeah,
really
when you're off angle. Well, here, you take a look, and then we'll bring it over here.
Oh, I see.
But this is, I'm holding up a color rendering that was here before. Like, that facade to me is just really, they nailed it.
Right. I think so, too. I think that they have the short side along 44 is smart.
One of my comments was, how do you, you know, just, I really wanted them to, how do you put the drive-thru window there and make it look
you
as nice as it is?
Put the drive-thru in the back of it. Like Dunkin' Donuts.
It doesn't work because it reduces your queuing. In order to get the driver's side window on the side that face, if you put the window on the back side of the building, the service window, the driver's side window of the car has to be on the left side.
Well, they have to go in the one side, and they still have to come around the other way, but you don't see the drive-through from the road. It's behind it, just like Dunkin' Donuts on 44.
So, but then you have to loop all the way around the building and then back over, and then it's, yeah, I don't know. That ate up a lot of
asphalt. You're going to have to do it anyway, because you can't come out in either of those places. There's too much traffic. You still have to loop around.
I think what happens is you have so much looping that you then don't have any parking or landscaping.
Yeah.
I think it eats up too much of the site when that was looked at. Because trust me, I had them try to do so many different scenarios. And then generally, I'm really impressed that they actually went through them. It wasn't just lip service. And a lot of the sketches are on the planning and zoning presentation, too. And I'm not thrilled with the outcome, but planning and zoning seemed, you know, pretty happy with it. That seemed to be the consensus. But it wasn't a, you know, easy discussion. It was, you know, but if you look at the layout there, it's still pretty good. And then they're expanding pretty far west in that, beyond this, they show a little parklet and then another longer building.
Right, because didn't they acquire the liquor store and then the burger?
Yep. Everything except for the gas station.
It's too bad they couldn't get their hands on the gas station.
Really,
yep. So
the gas station, I thought it was for sale. Yeah, they want them over
or is it just the price is out?
Yeah, I think it's unattainable at the moment, even though it's for sale.
Hopefully people will be drawn to this.
They should make it like almost like a carriage passageway, which they have many of in the Czech Republic and in the cities and in Poland and what have you. And that is that you come in and you go right through the middle of the building and then go back out. But it would be, because it's multiple stories, you can go.
Oh, you're talking in the middle of the building?
In the middle of the building, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm anxious to see what comes in for the elevation for this when we get it. But thank you, Tommy.
Yeah, of course.
That's the layout that's with the wetlands permit. Oh, it went off. So that's exciting. I didn't really need that excitement today, but it's nice to have it in. It makes it official. It's a great thing. Just have a group of people do all that work up front, and then actually they're actually doing it. Right. How many projects have we talked about like this where nothing actually ever
happened?
Gets submitted.
Yeah.
But then we've also had plenty that come this far, you know, get approved and then don't happen, or don't happen for 7 years and then, you know, happen or not.
Yeah.
But it's kind of interesting what happens up there. So, but it's exciting, absolutely exciting.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a big project, and it's much, much needed. I mean, that whole complex is just well beyond its
for sure.
Useful life, in my opinion.
I do hope they can get some of those tenants, the newer ones. I know the Home Place, the Black Sheep. Well, the Black Sheep, I guess, is in a place, and the Home Place is in a place that's staying.
Yeah.
But that bazaar that opened up, that's in the old outlet spot.
Yeah.
That's new. But I guess that's a future phase now.
Speaking of Black Sheep, I don't have it all on the top of my head, but they did send us a message. Because they were trying to figure out, I think it was when they were applying for a sign permit,
right.
And they're I think they feel that they're a little bit limited, and they're also tucked away. You know, let's not forget the Cake Gypsy started there, but then she moved out quickly and got, you know, more frontage on the internal side space, and then expanded from there.
Yeah.
It was asking for help or support, but you know, I think it's just one of those things I think it's just something for us to be aware of, what other things can the EDA do for small businesses like that are starting up and looking for more exposure and things like that? We have to try to figure out. I'm sure this business survey we're doing now will help with that. It was a recent example.
I think a social media, a Make It Canton post for this particular case, to me it was screaming a Make It Canton post.
We could also offer, a custom map that they can use on their socials just to, show people, hey, this is where all these other places are, here's where we are, here's where you can get to us, here's where parking is, just make it very clear. I could offer that too from a graphic design perspective.
Because, Wonder opens or, Shake Shack opens, they have a national marketing campaign. Yeah. Your mom and pop shops don't, and that's where I think if they're looking for, love and support from the community to help them, survive and turn the corner the Blue House has. So those are the ones that, really make a big difference to the community as well.
Maybe when next meeting, when Dave is back for that meeting, maybe he could throw a post together for it.
Yeah, if the handle's still alive.
Just a one-off thing while we're still trying to get
the
bearings in terms of what this campaign's going to look like.
I think that would be cool. Especially since they reached out to us.
I was going to say, back when we had our own Chamber of Commerce, they would facilitate that and they would host events or, everybody to promote, we're promoting this business this month, they would, you know, okay. do call outs and things. And then, you know, we just don't have that local presence anymore.
Yeah.
But that's how they, as the business community, would help support each other and try to be a more successful, you know, group.
Maybe that's part of the survey is to kind of, because I did Chamber of Commerce in Farmington when I first opened, and, you know, they made me one of the, you know, the business of the month when I first opened, which I think really helped. So, you know, through the other businesses without the chamber, just to have, you know, a business of the month, and everybody can go and they can put out, you know, a few nibbles and
for sure,
and, you know, some soda, and we have a little, you know,
welcoming or grand
welcoming happy
thing.
Hour.
Yeah, I think that we can use some of the responses in there for, like, if you want to be a part of some of the other engagement that we're doing, as folks who volunteer for that, that could be the first group that,
right.
you know, does something like that.
Okay, that sounds good, Neil, in terms of Canton Village. Cultural districts. I honestly...
There's a lot of stuff in the packet about that. And there was a big workshop from the State Main Street program, was it last week or 2 weeks ago? I was supposed to go, but then I had a personal conflict. I couldn't make it. But they gave us a lot of information, and just glancing through it, it looks really interesting and maybe really supportive. When you look at what you need to have to be a cultural district, it's really, you know, kind of focused on a supportive artistic environment, which, you know, I completely amazed, like, Collinsville isn't one already, you know, when I looked at the criteria, but there's a lot of process and things that has to happen, and I feel like that's something I think we need a larger audience for. I think we need Bob and the connection to the existing Main Street program, and maybe we need to, you know, look at it a little bit more detailed, and then have the Main Street, our local Main Street program, look at it and kind of get an idea. Do they see the value in this or not? Does the EDA see the value in this or not? And then if both parties say yes, then, okay, let's look at the pursuing it and the steps. And if it's, you know, incredibly onerous or it seems reasonable, I mean, I think one of the things I just glancing through saw was, like, you have to form your cultural district commission, which then has prescribed members involved, you know, like different types of community members that have to be on it, which we probably have, but can you get a, you know, we need a person from EDA, a person from the historic district, an actual active artist, we need, you know, blah, blah, blah. And can we do that or not? But it seemed like it actually creates access to advertising, to promotional events, to, I think there's something that every Sunday morning they run a feature on each cultural district in the state. I think it's a total of 16 now. And most of the ones I looked at are communities that have, like, a historic center, like Collinsville, Rockville, Old Weathersfield, you know, and that's, I just feel like we have that, you know, component. So it's just something we should explore, but I'm just not familiar with it enough because I didn't go to the training and it's new since 2019.
To be fair, I haven't really gone through the materials in detail, but why don't we do that intra meeting, and when we have a larger audience, we can come on the table into next meeting, and we can discuss it in more detail.
For sure.
Review of the minutes. I'll make a motion to approve the July meeting minutes. Anyone have a second?
Second.
Sure. All in favor? Okay. Good, done. Any development updates, Neil?
I'm trying to think.
Shake Shack is open.
It's open, yep.
People are saying good things about it.
Okay. Good. Nice. I don't wonder, still under construction.
What's going next to Give?
Oh, that's the same, James Chen, the same guy who owns at the Rooftop, and he's doing a more, like, breakfast-focused and takeout-focused kitchen.
That's cool.
In there. Won't be a big seating area or anything, but it's kind of, you know, I think also he has, he can generate food for his other businesses there and then transport it to the other restaurants. But but it's more of a takeout and, you know, faster food type, you know.
Awesome.
But so that's him. Yeah, no, that's catching a lot of interest, like what's going on. But he had worked on a land swap with a bank next door, so he was able to expand his lot. And then he's doing some long overdue site improvements.
Yeah.
to it, and then we'll be opening up that kitchen soon.
Very cool.
That's awesome. If anybody can make it a success, he is.
He seems to generate momentum.
He has time to tend to all these. Every time I go on the rooftop, he's there.
Yeah.
And he's got several restaurants. Yeah. I don't know how he can be at all these places and maintain the quality.
You got to have a manager that you trust, I guess, to leave the other restaurants just to operate on their own.
Yeah.
Because he's always in the rooftop.
Really?
Working. Yeah. Every time I go in there, I see him.
That's awesome.
So I can't think of anything else. The project behind CVS is going up. I'm sure everybody saw the momentum on that.
The auction barn?
That sold. So that closing happened. I'm expecting the entity to come in with that very soon for building permits.
Okay.
Yeah.
But they need the water connect?
Yes, the water connection.
My understanding was they have figured out the financing of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, or else why would they have purchased it, right?
Right. I don't think they would have purchased it at all if they didn't have that nugget figured out, because that seemed to be the main obstacle.
Bird code? I'd be remiss not to.
They gave us a building permit application after, I think, last meeting. I told you we issued a violation on the sign.
And you did, okay.
We got a building permit application within a week, but I don't think that had all the necessary information with it, so I don't think that, I could be wrong, but I don't think the building official has determined that to be complete yet. Kind of waiting to see if the other parts come in.
Okay. All right, anyone else have any questions on development?
Well, not on development, no.
Oh, go ahead.
I have another. At the bottom.
Okay.
So talking with Warren Humphrey,
about
what it is that we do on the EDA, and he said, and you would know more than anyone, that at one time the town was interested in buying some of the property that was behind the Collinsville Kayak Company shop.
Right.
And that, that there was, what he said to me, he said, well, I don't know if it was made... well known that the lot is much bigger than you think, because it includes the pylons that are in the river from the bridge that got swept away, and it also includes the trail, part of the trail on the other side.
I thought that was all private property on the other side.
No, it only becomes private property after about, a quarter of a mile?
There's a stub over there that's still, I think, I know Bob Skinner worked on that piece of land for probably 7 years, the former CAO, and he was trying to get that whole piece of land that was owned by the state but leased to the Waterfront Preservation Management Corp, which is the group that owns the old minor lumber property there and that's behind the canoe and kayak place. But in exploring getting that, I mean, it was literally had everything worked out, and all of a sudden somebody from DOT right-of-ways called him and said, no, there's an actual other piece of trail on the other side that's like, I don't know, 1,200 feet or something like that, which matches with your quarter mile. But I don't know what happened with all of it. But then I know the first selectman's been working on legislation to get rights or a license or something transferred on it also. So I know that's still actively being pursued.
It is, okay.
And I don't know the exact status, but I know the first selectman is actively working on it. But I don't feel comfortable bumbling through a partial understanding and saying something that's wrong. But I'll try to get an update for you on that for the next meeting.
All right. I remembered that the whole thing got real quiet and kind of went away.
Yeah.
But we were all like keen to get access to it because it's access to the river.
We were going to take over ownership. That was when Bob Bessel was first selected.
Right.
He would be able to answer that a lot more clearly. But then that then just stopped at some point, and I forgot why.
Mm.
But now I know there's other efforts afoot to kind of figure out how to access that land for the public benefit, which is, all good things.
I talked to Bob about it when he was first selectman, because I mean, who wouldn't want like a river, like a loop?
Oh yeah, just in that area by town.
Like a trail
be,
loop,
yeah.
Just right around, right? I mean, so many things you could
so
do
nice.
With that.
Yeah.
I mean, he said that there are private property owners, because I guess the Whenever you have a an old rail,
yeah,
bank, what do you call it? Track. When it all went dark when the train went
away. They ceased, yeah.
I guess there needed to be that land needed to be like land rail banked or land banked, yeah, or something like that, which preserves the rights to it. And some of that, I guess, was never banked. So I think there might be a stretch of it, to your point, that is still, you know, preserved. But I believe a lot of the other has been given to the property
the homeowners.
Owners.
And I know this for a fact because I used to cross-country ski, yeah, up there. Yeah. And for a long time, I could, right, go all the way up to the town bridge.
Yeah.
And then I think it was about 4 years ago, maybe 5 years ago. It was a good winter where you could actually ski, of which there have not been too many. I started to go up to the, because I would go up and I would come back. It was a nice ski and what have you. And there are big signs, you know, private property, yeah, no trespassing.
There are private property owners there. Like the trail that, you know, the rail bed is privately owned on the other side of the river. There might be a small stub where the abutments connected and the bridge landed. But the rest of it, I understand, is private property. And the private property owners have made it very clear and have, yes, come to public meetings making it very clear that we show that as a future possible greenway in the POCD, and they were very concerned about that because they were worried showing it there might invite the public to come access it. And we're like, well, I don't know, 20 years from now, 10 years from now, maybe you don't, you know, you want to sell it down, or maybe your heirs want to sell it to the town, but it's there for future planning purposes. It's not there as an invitation now. Yeah, it's been, you know, it's been a problem for owners on that side because it invites people to walk on just by its nature of it. It looks like, you know, a walking path.
It does.
Yeah.
It looks like it's showing an easement through some of the properties as, yeah, red on that other side. St. Patrick's Church owns, yeah, a big portion of it, 20 acres. Mm-hmm. It goes through some other
and that
residential.
That happened when they were doing the phase of the rail
right
trail that is the most recent one,
that's
and they were
right.
going to go north along Road, and then that's all that, yeah, you can see the rail bed there in the basement map,
you know,
but it's all privately owned.
Right, yeah, here.
Like somebody built a house
and
in the middle of the rail bed on one of them.
Because you can access it from
like, unless
the,
we're buy that and make
the,
yeah,
cemetery.
Center, you know.
I know.
Interesting.
The, I mean, that
cemetery
would be, that
is right here. This is
right
the cemetery. So you could go to the end of the cemetery.
Up to town bridge.
And then the private property.
I mean, you could do road races. You could do so many.
And the houses are so far off. You know, all the rail
buildings are
all the rails to trails,
you could even think about doing the fire, you know, the in Providence where you do the fire,
you
know, people on both sides. It's endless the possibilities. When that was a live rail track, where did the train go? So you went across the, so from Front Crown and Hammer, you go across the river, but where did it go from there up to New Hartford?
Yeah, I believe
there
you can actually
finished.
Still see
cool.
it when you're driving up to New Hartford. You can, well, if you go to the aerials, so you can still see the old
anytime,
path.
Actually, I'm
but
going down
when you're
there
driving up to New Hartford,
to
kind of, before you get to that main intersection, you have to go right to go over the bridge.
Nice.
You can look up left and you can see the old bed where it used to actually come across the river there also.
That's
interesting.
Yeah,
that's nice.
I did 2 years at Georgetown.
But then one of the lines went across the river in Collinsville, and the other one went up.
And then
like actually would switch and change where the police station is now. And there's an old map that shows like two line rail lines there in like a Y. And then that one line would then go to where the rail trail now follows all the way to Route 44.
And where would it go from there, do you know? Do it cross over 44 and go to Simsbury?
Yeah. Yeah,
it would.
And if you go to the WebGIS, you can see the actual outline of the old easement map that goes up that way. You can almost track it when you... You can see, like, the property boundaries almost mirror the edge of the rail bed in some cases. And then that went up to the one piece that goes by, like, what is it, Tooten Hill School
Tooten
or
Hills.
Whatever, right?
Yeah, the Tooten Hills Trail.
Yeah, that connects all the way down to Collinsville, and then the other one went out to New Hartford. But I remember Julius, who was the owner of Realty Works, he told me he grew up in Winsted, and his father used to be able to get on the train in Winsted and go to a Yankee game. And
really?
Come back, yeah. It's like, wow, can you imagine if we had that today?
Oh, my gosh.
You know?
It would be so great.
It would be.
Yeah.
One other quick question under other. The Lunette had closed about a year or so ago now. Any other movement on what the owners want to do with that space? It's just kind of been sitting there? Anything?
I haven't heard anything on
no?
that.
Okay.
Yeah.
such a great spot with riverfront views, and you see it there coming across the dam. Empty.
Sure is.
Yeah.
The it's and is I
honestly, know the I'm, owner, but he moved to Florida. He was living in the condo over in River's Edge near me, and he was even my patient. But they have since relocated to Florida. So.
Yeah, that just seems like it could be a major, you know, venue of for a lot of things there.
Interesting. Okay.
What about the for sale building in Collinsville?
I haven't heard anything on that. Yeah, I had that one speculation I told you about, and nothing since then. So I don't know if the my thought is maybe the price is too high.
Yeah.
You know, it's an amazing building, but I'm sure it's not cheap to maintain either. You know,
and it probably needs a lot of code updates.
Perhaps, yeah.
And then the POCD update, Bob, and I presented the survey results, and I presented the presentation that we had put together a couple years ago that really talked about different development types. Thank you so much for that.
Yeah, of course.
That was a piece of it. And again, I'll send this presentation out as well. But
awesome.
It kind of, the survey started, or the presentation started with, you know, property tax burdens of residents, a chart showing how it's been accelerating the last few years. And then it talked about kind of the need for more development to help offset some of that burden on residential homeowners. And then it went into development types. And then it talked about, with apartments obviously being an attractive development type from a net fiscal impact perspective.
Yeah.
And then it talked about, you know, why is there so much demand, developer demand, to build apartments in town and what's behind that. And then it got into more of the economics around.
Very cool. I love this. Yeah.
So I'll send that after this meeting.
Awesome.
And then if there are any questions, I can address them at the next meeting.
Cool.
I think it facilitated a very healthy discussion with the POCD committee members. I think it was a lot of good local data that they haven't been exposed to yet.
Yeah.
And the planning and zoning members have, but not the other newer members. So I thought it was a really good job you did, and it created a good environment for them to kind of start hearing and considering things that they might not normally hear. And I think what the everyday person kind of hears is, you know, the apartments and the complaints. And I even shared with Matt, I get emails from time to time about, you know, the apartments being negative, or the reason the budget referendum failed so many times is because of the burden of the apartments, which, you know, I don't know what that's based on, but that's the beliefs out there. Or, you know, the traffic problems we have are caused by them, even though we're ADTs or town stuff. But it's kind of interesting to I literally wrote back to one person, like, hey, this was discussed at our meeting that just happened last Monday. You can watch the video and you can just hear the information that was presented, and, you know, for whatever it's worth, and which it's another nice thing when that stuff's being put out there. It helps kind of just expose people to more insights and perspectives, and it's not just immediately what you think, but, you know, there's more knowledge to gain. And you know, everybody's welcome to bring in information to support their own opinion too to the POC group, and we have a public comment portion for that. And so far we haven't gotten a lot of feedback from the public, but we haven't had started the real public engagement either yet. That's coming. We did issue the RFP for that last week. So that is currently open. That closes first week in September. So I've really tried to spread that out as far as I could to as many, you know, firms that I know that actually do that type of work, put it up on the planners listserv in Connecticut, put up on the National American Planning Association website. It's on the Department of Administrative Services website, it's on our town website, and I put it up on the planner's listserv also. So trying to get as much exposure so we can get a healthy response. So we'll see what happens.
That listserv is great. That CONDOT puts, or not CONDOT, UConn.
UConn, yeah.
Yep. A lot of good stuff. Cool.
So the only other thing is other. So anyone have any other comments or gripes they want to talk about? If not, we can adjourn at 7:27.